Caught Offside with Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes! Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney. What's going on, man?
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Really, really good.
It's good. Good to hear.
Yeah, two podcasts out this week, just like old times.
Two stunning podcasts.
I know.
They're
I know.
Meaty, they're thick and enjoyable.
Obviously, we have one up already where we talk with Rob Dawson about Manchester United and all the negativity that is just coming out of their camp right now. It's pretty bad. It sounds pretty bad. I don't know that it needs to be, but Jose Mourinho has kind of made it that way. So we talked to him.
Yeah, we did a good podcast about a bad situation.
Yeah. Also, a couple, I guess, public service announcements. Want to let you all know, Help a Fan is back. We describe it in greater detail on the other podcast this week, but the Cliff Notes version is if you're a fan of the sport, but you don't have an allegiance to a Premier League club and you want one, we have a 10-question questionnaire pinned to the top of our Twitter page, at CO Soccer Pod. Go there, fill out those 10 questions, but don't fill them out on Twitter or on email. You have to fill them out to us as an iTunes review. Some people are what's an iTunes review? Is that like the Apple reviews on my Apple podcast app? Yeah, I believe it's all one and the same. So you fill it out there, we'll look at them, and then at some point between now and, well, the sooner you get them in, the sooner you get your response, but we will assign all of you clubs that want one. And the deadline for that is the first international break of the season, which I believe is September 3rd. So I think that's like, four weeks into the season. Get cracking if you want a club, and we will get you one. We'll go right into this right now, right into our What to Watch For segment of this show. A little bit different. Interesting. Oh, you're all intrigued. What to Watch For, the MLS All-Star Game, JJ. Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, MLS All-Stars against Juventus. MLS All-Stars without Zlatan, without David Villa.
MLS some stars.
This is still a good team, and I'm very excited about this game. And you know what? Let's not even waste any more time. Let's go right into this. This is the main event. This guy just set a record. 100 goals, fastest to ever get there. Plays for the New York Red Bulls. One of our favorite guys to speak with. We have him on pretty much every season. We get a chance to catch up with him. And we're so happy to have him back on the show again. I think he's actually stepped away from the MLS All-Star Team Dinner down in Atlanta. It's Bradley Wright Phillips back on the show. BWP, what's up?
What's up, guys, man? Thank you for having me on.
Good. We're good. We're excited to be talking to you. I mean, 100 goals. I'll tell you, let's go back and analyze them. Name every goal you've ever scored now. Go. I'm kidding. But honestly, though, do you have a favorite? Like, do you have one of these 100 that stands out above some of the others?
I can't. You know what? I feel like I got asked a similar question yesterday. I couldn't think of any, but I feel like a derby goals always feel good to me. So you can pick one of them. Anyone.
Yeah, I'd say they're
in the derby, it feels good.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they're the sweetest for the Red Bulls fans. Bradley, can I take you back in time a little bit? Because I suggested to Andrew that I've been on this journey with you somewhat. So let me see if you can remember this. It's February 2014, and it's I think it's like the end of February, and it's the launch party, if you will, on the West Side for the New York Red Bulls and the new season. And you'd already played the back end of 2013 with the Red Bulls and done quite well. Am I correct? Yeah. Am I right so far?
I've done okay. I wouldn't say quite well in 13. I got injured a couple of times, didn't really get too many starts, but go on.
Yeah. All right, so I'm working for a newspaper in the city, and we go in there, and I'm barely in the country myself, and there's big buzz because Thierry Henry's coming down to talk to everybody, and you're sat off to the side with Johnny Steele, the Northern Ireland international, and I come over and I spoke to you, and I was just thinking back then about and please don't take this the wrong way, but I was like, is he drinking in the Last Chance Saloon because you'd been let go in England and you'd moved to America? Like, what was your state of mind at that moment in terms of, what was it? Was there huge pressure on you to make this work?
No, not really. I think if you look at it now, it's like, thank God it did. But at the time, I was trying something new, man. I was just like fed up with England a bit. I had a few offers over there, but I didn't like them. I was kind of fed up. I was getting to play with Thierry, so I was just trying something new. There was no pressure. Honestly, the way this has turned out, like 100 goals, it's the last thing I thought. I was just trying to come here and just make a nice little name for myself. But it went a little bit better.
What did you change about your life in football? Look, because let's be honest now, your goal scoring in the last 4 years has been so incredible. What did you change about what you did in America as opposed to what you were doing in England?
I took the game more serious. I think in England I always tried to be very professional, but I think things I thought was professional, what I would do, it wasn't really. And I came here, it was just me and my family, and I put my head down, I worked hard. I listened to things, what people like Thierry told me, and I tried to take them to my game, and they seem to have worked out. But the main thing I wanted to change was consistency. I think in England, I've scored goals in different jobs. You know, I've been capable of scoring in any league I played in. Not, obviously not a lot, but I knew I could do it. I just needed to have some consistency. So I tried to work on that.
Bradley, the idea to wear the 100 jersey underneath the 99 jersey, whose idea was that? Was that you?
Yeah, well, it was me and the kit man. So what happened was, obviously, when my dad died years ago, and I always wanted to do this. As a young kid, I wanted to do the same thing. But I originally had an idea for 100 to 99 under, just on like an under T-shirt.
Yeah.
Not an actual jersey. And then I got to the game, and Sean, the kit man, was like, I was like, where's that shirt? And he's like, I didn't bring that one, but I got something better. And I was kind of pissed off. I didn't show. Sorry, my language.
I was kind of
angry, but I didn't really show it too much. And then he showed me the jersey, and I was like, nah, that's way better. That's going to look good.
That's fantastic.
And then I actually got lucky enough to score, so it was cool.
Yeah, Bradley, though, you've glossed over this far too quickly. Your father, who was a magnificent striker who's gone down in the annals of Arsenal history, is Ian Wright. Just for anybody who might not know that. And on the day he broke Cliff Baston's goal-scoring record for Arsenal, he revealed the jersey too early. Am I correct?
Yeah, he done it on a goal too soon. Then he had to score again.
That's right, which at that point in his career was no problem to him. By the way, did you mention that? When you spoke to your dad, did you mention that, Dad, at least I did it right this time?
I did it, but I think I was just going to
Bradley, I'm curious. It's All-Star Week, obviously. You're down in Atlanta right now. There's been some talk this week with you know, Zlatan not going. I'm curious how you view this. Like, is this, when you found out you're an All-Star and you're going to be doing this, despite the fact that it's kind of a jam-packed portion of the season, are you pumped to be there? Is it kind of a nuisance during a time when you want your focus to be more on club football? I mean, how do you view this whole thing right now?
No, it's one of those things that you know you're going to have to do a lot of stuff when you get down here, but just a few days before, you kind of prepare yourself for it. They make it as easy as they can for you, and when you do get here, it's kind of, you get to do some fun appearances and meet the guys from other teams. It ends up being a fun few days.
Is there a guy that you're now teammates with who, like, when you play him during the season with the Red Bulls, you're like, God, I hate that guy. But now that you're, like, teammates with him and you get to know him a little bit, you're like, you know what, that guy's actually not that bad.
You know what, there's none of those dudes here. I was, you know, when I first recorded, I was looking for the squad to see if there's anyone I've had an argument or kind of some harsh words to. Nah, everyone's cool.
Speaking of the All-Star game, Tyler Adams named as an injury replacement. Obviously one of the young stars on your team and a player that a lot of American fans have a lot of interest in. I mean, you've got a front row seat to his development. Can you talk at all about, you know, just kind of the way you've seen him grow over the last couple of years?
Yeah, he's kind of unfortunate that he didn't get, you know, a call-up without an injury to the All-Star team. But yeah, Tyler in general is a top player. I think talking about his ability is, I think we all know that he's a good football player. But what impresses me more is his maturity, the level of maturity he has for such a young guy. And for the amount of games he's played, he's not afraid to tell senior guys what to do. He understands the game, he understands tactics, and he's got a great engine on him. But yeah, he can be a very, very good player, top level.
Bradley, if I was to take 20 goals off you, you'd sit on 80 goals, and you wouldn't be a Centurion, but you'd have an MLS Cup. If you could swap 20 of those, you'd take
MLS
it
top.
Every time.
100%. Like, we talk about this now. I have 100. I have 100 goals, and it's done nothing for the team. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying it. It's a decent achievement. It's only for yourself. MLS Cup, 100%. So you might still get 100 goals after that. You know. So.
That's a good point. I think Red Bull fans will be happy to hear that. Talking about the team, the coaching change. I mean, you guys had won 3 straight under Chris Armas until this past Saturday against Columbus. I mean, it seems like overall it's gone well. I know after the first win, you came out and said that was for Chris Armas. Did you feel like he needed that boost?
Yeah, I said that because I don't think for us in the locker room, we didn't need that. But I know how media works, and I know how fans can be sometimes. If we had lost again and again, people start saying that, you know, Jesse's gone, now we're in trouble, you know, Chris ain't the man. you know how things can go. So just for him to just get his first win, it was just nice. I think it just calmed everyone around the club down.
How well positioned do you think you are, Bradley Wright Phillips, to go on and put your name, etch your name on that trophy for the first time?
I think we're in good shape. It's the reason why I'm a little more confident in this season than I have been past. I've always been confident, but with this season, I think we've been harder to score against. We have a steady back line. You know, we're not conceding too many goals in the run of play. And it's you know, we've proven to be harder to score against. And I think that's what's let us down sometimes in the playoffs. So I think now, when we get there, I think we'll be a lot more prepared.
Last one for me. It's kind of a random question. How much did you enjoy England's run in the World Cup?
It was fun, man. It was fun. For a long time, I haven't been able to do that. It was just fun. It was heartbreak, obviously, when they lost to Croatia. But Croatia is a good team. But I had a good time. I went to watch every game in like one of my friend's bars. And it was just good, man, just being around English people and celebrating when we were there.
Bradley, before I let you go back and grab dessert, if there was a fight between your dad and Roy Keane, who are you backing?
My dad. Sorry, Roy. But I could not say anything other than my dad.
I think that has to be the answer.
Well, there was a lovely...
Don't underestimate the chubby man.
Well, there was a lovely picture of them both in the bar after that little...
Yeah, I remember.
That was pretty cool.
Well, we'll let you go back. I know you're at the All-Star team dinner right now. By the way, who pays for this? Are we looking at like credit card roulette here? Could you get stuck with like a $10,000 bill?
No, I think it's on the league somehow. So don't worry, I'm good. I'll be saving money tonight.
Well, good stuff, man. We'll be watching you, of course, and rooting for you tomorrow night as MLS All-Stars take on Juventus. BWP, 100 goals, fastest to ever do it. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, guys, for having me on, man. Thank you, too.
Oh, our thanks to Bradley Wright Phillips. Glad he's not going to get stuck with that bill. That'd be a hefty price. Not like an offensive lineman meal when they do that, but, you know, soccer players, they eat like birds.
No, and plenty in MLS are speculating now that he should be paid more, considering he's such a prolific goal scorer. I mean, he was at a bargain price for a long time.
He's one of the best players in the league.
Yep.
Has been for a number of years now. MLS All-Star Game, look, I enjoy it. I find it to be a fun event. MLS lost to Real Madrid on penalties last year. Ruined my day. And lost to Arsenal the year before that. And the last time they won, of course, old Spursy Andy was on the losing side that night against Tottenham. I kind of miss the days when it was MLS All-Stars versus West Ham.
Those were the days?
In 2005, it was MLS All-Stars versus Fulham. I'm sure you can't, but do you know the opponents that MLS All-Star team have played once they started doing it like this? In 2004, it was East versus West.
Yeah.
They've gone back and forth. It was East versus West, then it was MLS American players versus MLS the world players. That's not the worst thing ever. How about in 2000 when it was East-West and the East won 9-4? But since 2005 to now is when they've really gone to this format. Fulham, Chelsea, Celtic, West Ham, Everton, Manchester United, Chelsea,
Roma, Bayern. West Ham are a real outlier in there. Let's be honest.
Fulham also.
But Fulham are in a European, you know, final, at least in and around that era. West Ham. What year was West Ham?
That was 2008. MLS won 3-2 against West Ham that day. One of the most memorable games ever played, some say, at BMO Field in Toronto. I don't know. Look, it's fun. And it brings more eyeballs to the league, which is really what this is
about.
I'm
not sure that it does.
Yes, it does.
Go on.
If it was East versus West MLS, you think that that's bringing more than MLS versus Real Madrid last year, or Juventus?
No, if those are the options, then no. But
well, those are the options.
All right.
I enjoy it, and I'll be watching. And we're actually going to have an emergency podcast immediately after.
No, there's no way you're getting me into the studio for that.
Let's see. A couple other MLS games of actual import. We talked on our other podcast about the Zlatan stuff and the David Villa stuff with them not being a part of this and what it means. So for more on that, I would tell you to check out the red card portion of the other podcast this week. Some MLS games. I guess your big one, Saturday at 4 o'clock, Atlanta United FC and Toronto FC. We've spent a lot of time talking about Toronto.
There are stirrings.
They won. But I'm looking at it more from the Atlanta side right now. They really are. They got off to a bit of a slow start this season, but they've rounded into form. And I don't remember our exact prediction, but I think mine was that they were the team that I thought would be most fun to watch this season, and I think they are validating that.
I think that's fair, and if let's be honest, Joseph Martinez is probably we're going to have him on the show when he breaks BWP's record in September.
It's inevitable, right? September. You may not. It could happen this weekend, for all we know. He's got 24 goals this season. He's going to break, like you say, the single season record of 27, which was BWP. He's averaging a goal per game this season.
And it to me, it throws up an interesting longer term thing, not just about this season, but he's 25, right? And that's not old, but that's decision making time.
The time is now.
So if an offer comes in for him, he has to go.
Yeah,
But wait. I was talking this through the other day in my mind to myself.
Yeah.
So if he goes, he needs to be sure at 25 that he's going to be the main guy where he goes. He's going to be starting regularly, right? Otherwise, if he stays, he could become one of the highest paid players in the history of MLS with that kind of goal scoring record and could become an Atlanta legend. The fork in the road is coming quickly for him, I feel.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Because he will get an offer at that pace of goal scoring.
You might even say that the fork in the road has arrived. There's been some renewed interest in him. Club America in Mexico have had some interest, apparently.
See, I wouldn't make that move if I'm him.
Okay.
I think he has the potential in terms of earnings. Let me be corporate JJ for a second. And in terms of brand building, to be an iconic face in MLS. Whereas it wouldn't be quite the same, I don't think, in League MX.
Here's what he said. He's obviously been asked about this, and he's going to be asked about this a lot because his name is becoming a really hot one. He was asked about where he is. He says, "Where am I? I'm here in Atlanta. I'm happy. I don't pay attention to those rumors or anything. I live in the present. I don't think about the future. So right now I'm happy in Atlanta and happy with my teammates." That, to me, I don't know. I feel like we've heard enough of these kinds of answers from guys to kind of be able to read in between the lines. I live in the present. I don't think about the future. So right now I'm happy in Atlanta and happy with my teammates. That to me means...
Look, I'm not saying...
I'm willing to... I don't know. I see that a guy who's willing to leave.
I think it has to be a decent-sized European power, though. He's got to choose carefully at 25.
Well, who... Give me a name. What's a decent-sized European power where he'll go and play?
No, but think about the whole thing. Becoming an MLS icon, getting a massive pay.
Are we talking like FC Porto, like something like that?
I think it has to be at least at that level. It has to be. How many places is he going? If he looks at it and he says, there's no place here where I'm going to play in front of 60,000 people, right? Mm. For a start. Where my profile is going to be as big as it is in MLS. What does he want? Does he want to be a career legend in MLS or go somewhere where he can become a legend there? But he's got to be sure he's going to play. 25 is, it's old enough to have those concerns in football.
Money matters for him now.
It's got to.
And I think that's, you know, because like you say, 25 is still young, but how many huge contracts and huge paydays does he have left? So I think that ultimately that is what we'll talk.
By the way, Almiron's probably going to go. Martinez goes. If I'm Don Garber and the league, I'm looking at ways to keep these guys.
It would be a shame because the way that city has taken to them, and look, that won't disappear if those guys leave.
No, but where?
But
are you
they
gonna,
won't be as good.
No, and where are you going to get replacements?
It's a great question. Now, look, they have spent. I mean, Atlanta just spent the most money ever to bring in Ezequiel Barco.
No, I know, but I think they want to look long-term with the likes of Martinez, Barco, and Almiron. To keep finding a Barco, to keep finding a Martinez, to keep finding an Almiron is tricky.
Yeah. Have you seen these stories about Barco?
Yeah. How much depth can we go into it?
Google it, everyone.
Yeah.
Let's see. Saturday, 9 o'clock, Colorado Rapids and LA Galaxy. We haven't even mentioned Kellen Acosta getting traded to Colorado.
It seems like such a...
He scored the other night in a losing effort. He seemed pretty happy to leave Dallas. Boy, things have turned around there so quickly, haven't they? God, a year and a half ago at this time.
But even just talk about him. He's kind of symptomatic of that turnaround. It feels like a backward move, let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Doesn't seem good, does it?
Going to Colorado from from Dallas.
Yeah, it feels like a backward step.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado have been poor this season. They're second to last right now in the Western Conference. Meanwhile, FC Dallas are top of the table. So, yeah, yes, it is a backward step.
And for a guy we were talking about, oh, he's going to go to Europe.
Again,
US international. How quickly can we get Kellen Acosta into that midfield and get everybody else out? You know?
Yeah. More of my focus, though, is on the Galaxy side of this because they're coming off one of... have they been involved in, like, the two games of the year? That first game against LAFC.
Both games against LAFC. Yeah, coming back from 2-0 down and 3-0 down, respectively.
And then this game was just wild. Zlatan registering his first hat-trick. He's got 15 goals in 17 matches for the Galaxy. This was such a gut punch if you're Orlando. I mean, you go on the road to California, you score three goals, you think you should be walking away winners. They've lost 12 of their last 13 right now. They seem to be in crisis. And they got Zlatan. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was. And this was a very enjoyable game. There's no question. But the defending on both sides, and particularly defending for Zlatan's go-ahead, for the go-ahead goal, for his hat-trick goal. Andrew, you wouldn't see it in high school. It was ridiculous. James O'Connor on the sideline must have been ripping his hair out. It was shocking. I don't mind... obviously, a lot of goals are defensive mistakes by the very nature of goal scoring. Something has to go wrong in the defence or somebody has to do something exceptional. But Zlatan alone for all that time in the box on his own.
It felt like he was in space all night. And that would be weird talking about anybody, let alone Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And look, some of it was just him. I mean, his header on the second goal was just
really
good. I'm bigger than you.
And he got up between two defenders.
Yeah. So, you know, some of that is just, what are you going to do? There's a reason this guy is one of the best to ever play. But some of it, I mean, he could have had four. Like, in the first half, the ball falls to him. He's in on the keeper, but his first touch was dreadful. And he kind of rolls it right into the keeper there, and that was that. But, yeah, I just, watching that game, I was just astounded by how much space he was allowed.
If this is the level of defending he's going to come up against, he's going to score. He's not going to stop scoring. It was woeful.
Yeah. One other game to mention here. Sunday, 6 o'clock p.m. I think it's the lone game on Sunday. The Red Bulls and LAFC. I think we're far enough along now. I don't have a ton to say about the Red Bulls. We just spent all that time talking to Bradley Wright Phillips about them. So LAFC, I feel like we're deep enough into the season now to say that some of what we said in the preseason about them is bearing out to be true. They really are good. I mean, second right now in the West, 36 points.
Yeah, but I can't see them. I worry for them in the playoffs, Andrew. They can't close out some of the bigger games. They are prone to letting teams back in. They were way better than the Galaxy in that first half against, in the LA Derby.
Yeah.
And they contrived.
It was another blown lead.
Yeah, and that would worry me about them. It would probably be my only concern, because I'll tell you, they are very attractive to watch going forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, matchups will matter. Like, if they wind up faced with, you know, in the postseason, if they're faced with Portland, who have now become just this stingy team that doesn't score a ton, but doesn't concede either. I mean, they've given up just 25 goals this season. It's the lowest in the Western Conference, tied with Dallas. You know, that will be a tough matchup. Or even if they wind up against Dallas in the... in the Western Conference final. So, you know, matchups will play an important role. If they face some team that's a little more open and can be picked apart, then that's probably where they'll thrive. But, you know, like guys like Carlos Vela, like he's come into the league and it's been a great transition. He's been phenomenal for them. So,
you're just happy that the team you picked to do extremely well and be playoff bound and be strong in the playoffs are looking that way.
Yep. That's right. Adrian Healy just, he tore the idea to shreds. Look at him. Look at him now. Let's see. ICC, a couple games that I don't have a ton to say about, but we should tell you that they're happening. Wednesday, 3:05 p.m., so a little afternoon one, Arsenal and Chelsea. And then Saturday, 6:05, Real Madrid and Juventus. By the way, it does bear mentioning, because we have spent a lot of time talking about Manchester United. They're playing right now as we speak against Real Madrid. It's halftime, and United are leading 2-1. We'll see Alexis Sanchez and Ander Herrera have goals. Kareem Benzema scored deep in stoppage time of the first half. So that will probably change between now and then. But I wonder if that could settle down some of what Jose has been saying.
It depends if he stops saying it.
You're right. He has made a decision. We talked so much about this. We don't need to go into this again. Let's see. Europa League qualifying, JJ.
Yeah.
Burnley and Aberdeen, Thursday, 2:45. It's 1-1 heading into the second leg back at the Turf Moor after Sam Vokes' late heroics, 80th minute, to tie that one up.
Pulled it out of the fire in Pataudry.
Yeah. I bet there's going to be a great atmosphere for this one. I think Burnley fans are up for this, the idea of being back in Europe.
And also Scottish fans, this is travelable distance, very much so. And the Scots love to travel. Aberdeen is historically a very well-supported team with a great history. I would love an upset in this one. Absolutely love it. Let's not forget where people view... The perception of the Scottish Premier League is not very good right now. And it's a long time since Aberdeen pulled off heroics in Europe. They've also sold one of their main players over the last few years to Salford City, the Gary Neville run vehicle, because somebody reckons that a team in the, the non-leagues can pay better than a Scottish Premier League team. So that's why I am all up for the chaos of Aberdeen knocking out Sean Dyche's team. I actually have audio of Sean Dyche's halftime team talk.
Yeah.
When they were 1-0 down.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what he said?
What was that?
Yeah, we were 1-0 down at halftime, and I said to lads, ooh, we don't want to be 1-0 down. And I said, Sam Vokes stood up, right? Sam Vokes stood up and said, would you like me to score a goal, Gaffer? And I said, oh, yes, please, Sam. That would be tremendous. And he did.
That's all it took. Would you like me to score a goal?
Yeah,
yes, please.
Hey, he's a simple manager, simple instructions, back to the old school.
So 1-1 as they head into the second leg. Also Thursday at 2:45, Rangers and other team. Osijek, I suppose.
Yeah.
1-0, Rangers holding the lead. Steven Gerrard, more Scottish pride here.
Well, this is slightly different. So they won their first leg game, this is the second leg. They won in the first leg. They won also won in the first round, which is much better than what happened last year when they were knocked out by the champions of Luxembourg early on. So it's all going good for Stevie G so far, although you'd never know it in his post-match interviews.
He's
quite dour. Yeah. Saying there's a lot of work yet to be done, which I'm sure there is.
Is that dour or is that just true? Look, I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen them play yet, so I'll defer to you here.
Well, they've only played... Scoopy.
That's right. Scoopy, right?
Scoopy.
And then JJ's favorite league on earth resumes this Friday. It begins the English Championship. Friday, 3 o'clock, Reading and Derby County. You must be just like, this is like Christmas Eve right now.
Well, this is an interesting one because Paul Clement, who we know from his managerial stint at Swansea, is a former Derby manager. Derby County's new manager is Senior Frank Lampard, who will remember Paul Clement when Clement was a coach under Carlo Ancelotti at Chelsea. So there's some crossing of the streams here, you'll see.
that is the technical term.
Derby have just signed Jack Marriott from Peterborough for quite a large fee, who was his League One Player of the Season last season. So look, what is the main buzz? The buzz is Frank Lampard's bow as a manager at a big team. This is a big side historically who is looking to get back into the Premier League. And this is Frank's first senior coaching job. So everyone's going to wonder. The preseason's gone well. They've won quite a few of their... I think they've had 6 preseason games. And they've... look, there's a buzz about them. I was listening... This is how deep I've gone in this. I was on a local Derbyshire papers today online reading up on how their preseason has gone. And apparently the feel-good factor is back for Derby County. And look, it's a notoriously tough league. I'm not sure how deserving Frank Lampard is of walking into such a big job like that, but we'll see if the gamble will pay off.
Very interesting. Mailbag, we'll close it out with that. What do you got?
The mailbag. @SoccerPod, caughtoffsidepod@gmail.com. Darnell Lee would like to eat crow.
Oh.
So just wanted to start off by stuffing this big piece of crow down my gullet. During your World Cup previews, I wrote you and said Germany would repeat as champions. And they didn't. And Darnell basically goes, we simply didn't show up. I personally believe much of that has to do with what you two spoke about on the last pod regarding the Mesut Ozil situation. Instead of focusing on building the best team for our three games, Yogi Löw, the players and the entire DFB had to spend the month leading up to the World Cup answering questions about this topic. Clearly the DFB was divided over the issue and the rift went right down to the 23 players who made the squad. I know what Darnell is saying. I get his point. It was an issue. It's not the reason. We outlined it on our previews and we got it. I can't remember the guy on, it wasn't Darnell on Twitter who came after us.
Yeah,
guys, remember that guy?
Yeah.
All you did was moan and whine about Germany. Look at the players there, blah, blah. We tactically broke it down and said, where are the stars? And if teams lie deep on them, how are they going to get through? And we told you they would, we didn't realize it'd be like this, but we thought we had concerns.
Right.
And our concerns were through.
They were validated.
All right. Evan W. JJ and Andy, which is becoming a thing. Love the podcast. Listen to every episode for about a year now, and it is by far the best soccer podcast I've found.
Nice.
Although that is definitely helped by Andy also being a Spurs fan. Go, you Spurs! I found the podcast to be perfect to listen to in a variety of contexts. This is what I like.
What does that mean?
In the gym, on the plane, getting homework done. You never fail to keep me entertained. For that, I've told everyone I know about your podcast, so hopefully the listener pool in Chicago has been getting a little larger. I wanted to write in because a couple of podcasts ago you were talking about how Wolverhampton has become Little Lisbon. And you were wondering how that happened. Well, we haven't.
Well, no.
No, we know, but we haven't gone into any depth.
I think we sarcastically said, why has that happened?
We've been glazing it with sarcasm. I actually watched a super interesting video by Tifo Football that explains this exact situation, and he has. It's a good video by our friend James Montague.
Is that right?
Yeah, an explainer by James Montague on Tifo. They seem to make the case that they're employing pretty shady techniques. Well, that's what we're alluding to. Anyways, love the pod, and please start releasing 3 podcasts or maybe 5 a week sooner rather than later. Love, Evan. Evan, if you can find a way to get us paid. Actually, you know what? Contact ESPN and tell them you want that. Don't ask us, ask them. First of all,
we've danced around it for weeks now. Why don't you just come right out and tell people what is behind this Portuguese invasion of Wolves?
Right. Well, so at the first point of contact, Fosun is a massive Chinese company that bought the club. So they've got a lot of money behind them. But the main issue is the role of Jorge Mendes or Jorge Mendes and his influence in signings. That's what's causing a stir. It is against league rules to allow an agent to run a club's transfer affairs. Wolves claim that Mendes' role is in an advisory capacity only, but Mendes' football agency company, Jessifoot, has been invested by in the head of Fosun prior to the takeover. The EFL, which is the English Football League, investigated this last season at the behest of a number of EFL clubs who thought this huge turnaround and Wolves running away with the championship isn't fair, and they found no problem, nothing to see here. But then you see this season, and João Moutinho and Rui Patricio roll into town to add to Ruben Neves and some other guys. So that is the issue there. What is Jorge Mendes' role, and is it contravening Football League rules?
It's definitely interesting because, like, it just feels like if you're trying to give off the appearance of complicity, that you know, nothing, like you say, nothing to see here, is signing all of these high-profile Portuguese players the best way to make people think that nothing untoward is going on?
Is also the company that owns you being invested in by the head of that company investing into the football agency run by said agent that you said is not taking over your transfer fares, is merely advising them?
Right, it just feels
come on now.
Yeah, like, if you're being accused of, like, as a kid, of, like, stealing cookies from the cookie jar, and, you know, no, it wasn't me, but you've got, like, crumbs all over your face and your hands are just covered in, like, chocolate chips.
And you wrote an autobiography, Me and My Cookie Stealing Past, forward by the Cookie Monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, if you want to read in depth on this, David Kahn of The Guardian is great. I'm going to attempt to have David on if we can make that happen.
I don't know if this podcast is quite intelligent enough for a guest like that.
David Kahn is pretty intelligent.
I know.
And you are
quite stupid.
Yeah.
Also, can I make another point in Wolves' defence? Financial doping. Like, Wolves have suddenly been bought by someone with lots of money. At some point, they were going to get their transfer signings right. Let's just assume that's going to happen. And for years, we've had the top teams who've had way more money than the like of Wolves. So is it that unfair now that we've got a team coming in that's upsetting the apple cart a little bit? I don't know.
Right, it's nothing that we haven't seen before.
Jamie Cameron, I'm a new listener, grew up in South London in the 90s, early 2000s, obsessed with the Premier League. Picked up the podcast during a World Cup, which reinvigorated my passion for soccer after a long break. It's amazing how easily you can get hooked back into such an incredible sport. I can't wait for the start of the EPL season, and I've been following my now local Minnesota United team in the MLS.
Nice.
I enjoyed the discussion on Ozil and the political ramifications and complications of his photo op. Additionally, Rafa Honigstein's piece on ESPN FC was fascinating. The aspect of this that's most unjust to me are the reactions of Uli Hoeneß and Lothar Matthäus. While Hoeneß' reaction was full of the disrespect and blind prejudice that Ozil described throughout his experiences in football, Matthäus' muted indifference was to me even more troubling. The flat denial and refusal that someone who bridges multiple identities might experience discrimination is a sad echo of destructive nationalism that still pervades Western European football. It is truly disappointing that he chose to suppress Ozil's experience rather than using his platform to shed light on it. What a sad day for German football that an integral member of a memorable cycle for their national team cannot stomach putting on the shirt of a country he is largely responsible for the success of. It's even sadder, however, that European nations and people in soccer can't own the extent to which racism is still a massive problem in the game we all love. Keep up the great work. Thank you for tackling all the issues, both the fun and the serious, Jamie Cameron. I would agree with that in many aspects. And in particular, the denial of somebody experiencing racism.
Right.
That is one of the calling cards of a problem. When you're, as a person of colour or different ethnic background or an ethnic minority, when you're told, no, it's not racism. What you're feeling is wrong. When it's negated in that fashion, it must be so hurtful and so frustrating. And also, I would agree with the fact that it's just sad that a player of his skill that burst onto the scene in 09 and 2010 can't be a part anymore.
Yeah, no, he started every game of a World Cup run for this country. So, of course it's sad. And you know, I echo everything you're saying. The idea of people telling other people how they should feel when it's something that they can't necessarily relate to themselves is unsettling.
Yeah, it's very unsettling. You're making it up. Who are you to decide that? It's very, I don't know, it's scary. Peter Jacobs. Both my roommate and I love the pod, listen to it every episode, discuss it when we're both home cooking dinner.
Nice.
Like you two.
What was that face for?
I don't know. Just someone.
I think it's great.
Just someone making
the
pasta.
The fact that this podcast provides fodder for dinner conversation is phenomenal.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm just wondering, I'm just imagining a guy and he's mixing, like, mixing pasta in a bowl or something, right. And he just turns around and he goes, did you hear what Andrew said?
Yeah, pass the salt.
Just weird.
Yeah.
But kind of cool.
I love it.
Yeah. Like you two, both of us are passionate fans of Spurs and Liverpool, and like the Caught Offside Cup, we have our Commonwealth Cup, named after the street we live on in Boston.
Commonwealth.
Named after the street, Commonwealth Street.
Is Commonwealth a different street in Boston?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. Commonwealth is a famous street.
When those teams play each other, and we always like to find a way to celebrate the match in a friendly rivalry. Unfortunately, he's moving to California soon, and I'm staying out on the East Coast. So I wanted to ask you guys for suggestions of ways to keep a friendly rivalry alive with a 3-hour time difference. We're thinking he'll have to suck it up and get up early to share a Guinness over FaceTime. But any ideas you have are more than welcome. That is the only solution. You're not waiting until he's watched the game. You're not putting back your fun and shenanigans in the East Coast for him. He's got to get up early. Suck it up, dude.
Yeah. Plus, oftentimes, I mean, how early is that? Like, a lot of times, Tottenham versus Liverpool is a pretty marquee game, so you're looking at the 12:30 start.
Right.
So it's not, like, brutal asking.
It's 9:30. No, look, the early games, the 4 a.m. games
tough.
On the West Coast
that
is tough.
That one's really, really tough.
But I still think he should do it. Get to bed early on the Friday night.
Maybe just both of you fly to, like, Des Moines, somewhere in the middle of the country.
Yeah, you see, I knew you'd come up with a overly expensive and elaborate way.
How fun would that be?
To go to Des Moines to watch games?
All right, Chicago.
Have we any Des Moines listeners out there?
Of course.
Is it fun to watch the Premier League in Des Moines?
Of course it is.
All right. Finally, Alec Benson, I will get to your question on Bleacher Report getting the Champions League rights next week.
Oh.
Sometimes when we are putting down the rundown together, there's just stuff that I can't immediately handle because I get irritated and annoyed. And this might be one of
you
those times.
You need a full week to allow this question to sink in. This
go on Twitter and Google Bleacher Report Champions League and just see.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Wow.
It's an issue we're going to have to face on pretty soon.
Well, I'll tell you this. You may have to put that question on hold because next week is a big week for us.
Ah.
It's a three-parter next week. We want to let you all now know now that typically heading into the Premier League seasons, as many of you know already, we usually do three-part previews to get you ready. The first part will be a look at the league kind of as a whole.
Through our eyes.
The second part, and I want the reason I mentioned this is because I want all of you to know this now. The second part is an EPL mailbag special. It is literally an entire episode dedicated to your questions based around the upcoming season. So start now. At CO Soccer Pod on Twitter, caughtoffsidepod@gmail.com if you want to email it. Part two of the three-part preview is all about you guys and the questions that you have. I don't care who the teams are. It can be as big a club as United, a small club as Watford, whatever you want. We'll answer those. So start sending them in right now. And the third part, we always give you a marquee interview as well as our predictions. So keep your eyes open for that probably midweek next week, the three-part EPL extravaganza. I'm sure it will get you ready for the season to come. These World Cup summers are just so weird, man. There's like no... Like, there's no desert of... Like, I feel like that's been another thing. We talked about the ICC on the last podcast, how, its popularity has waned a little bit this summer in terms of attendance. Because normally the off-season, while MLS continues to go, but, you know, we love the Premier League, so it provides, like, this desert oasis of, oh, there's a little taste of it. But we haven't needed that because of the World Cup. Like, we didn't really need that sort of, like, little taste of... Premier League or big time soccer.
No,
we've been getting it.
The gap is just not big enough. We're bouncing right back into it.
I thought normally the summer comes and we've got all this time to like so kind of half relax a little bit, but no, from World Cup right in, we're doing EPL previews already. It's great, but it's a lot. It's really a lot. What does that look like?
You always go, it's a lot, man. And then when we're done, we're so proud of what we give to the masses.
Can't both be true?
I suppose.
You just want to fight. That's all you ever
want. I'm really excited about the new season.
I know.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does Lampard go full three-piece suit on the sideline? Might be too warm in England for that on Friday night. Does he wear the tracksuit? What way does he go?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
He won't wear a tracksuit because I feel like the thought of him donning anything other than a Chelsea emblem is just like he can't stomach it. You didn't think I'd go that route, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I've never been able to get over like his disappointment at scoring that goal for City to equalize against Chelsea.
Right.
I just always thought that was so funny and weird.
Yeah, what were you expecting, Frank, when you signed for Man City?
He feels like a suit man to me.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think he's going to go with the same look that he went for at his unveiling, which will be the open-collar white shirt.
Yeah. No jacket, no suit jacket.
He'll have the suit jacket, but he'll get rid of it quickly. He'll roll up the sleeves to show the fans of his commitment.
Yeah. We're getting in the mud here.
Yeah. I'm down in the trenches with you guys.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that's a great prediction.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it pretty much. Well, hey, this was fun, my friend. To everybody who weighed in on Twitter and email, our thanks as always. Like I said, Help a Fan is up. Check our Twitter at CO Soccer Pod to see the questions. Submit your responses at an iTunes or Apple or whatever review it is that we see.
Yeah.
It's the iTunes rating that it helps. All right? That's what we're talking about.
And we've been told to get on that and start working on it.
So we're trying to do our due diligence, but we need all of your help. Hey, as always, my friend, my thanks to you. My thanks to Bradley Wright Phillips. Good times. Enjoy the All-Star game tomorrow night. To you, I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
I'll see you later.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.